perhaps when there are so many, some of those who are used to sitting in lotus posture could sit up around here in the front and leave more seats for those who come in later. I'd like to read to you this morning an article by Swami Ramdas, which is entitled, God is Mystery. I open my eyes and see myself as all the universe. I close my eyes and behold myself as a changeless and formless existence. I see with unseeing eyes a sight which is neither outward nor inward. My vision is of infinity and eternity. My soul unfolded like a flower, and lo, a million worlds bloomed into life. Then I felt like a blossom revealing its inherent beauty, fragrance, charm, and perfection. I am the enchanting manifestation. I have a background of calmness and serenity. I am that background. I have a form that is cosmic. I am that form. Whatever I sense is myself. I am that sense. Whatever is myself. I look tiny. You look small. Infinity is our life. Eternity is our being. So we are spaceless and timeless. We are like gems, self-illumined, shedding soothing brilliance. Glimpses of the same light, rays of the same splendor, the same root and source. Yet I speak of my beloved as though he is separate from me. There is sweetness in such speech, unsurpassing sweetness. I feel thrills when my heart is visioned with his presence. Is not his presence itself me? I am lost in the mystic oneness, a puzzling mystery, the secret of secrets. I have no creed, no caste, no class. All are mine, for I am one with them all. Rich and poor are my own, are myself. Race and country cannot divide me. I am the omnipresent spirit indivisible. Heaven and hell have no meaning for me. In the infinite ocean of bliss, we are all bills, born of the same joy, embodiments of the one immortal God or truth, Sat Chit Anand. There is no fault, error, or ignorance anywhere. It is all light, love, knowledge, and virtue par excellence. I and the worlds are cast in a mold of these magnificent qualities. What more should I know, want, and attain? I look into myself. What did I see? I saw you and all beings, the stars, the planets, the sun, the moon. What am I then? I am the infinite spirit, all-pervading and all-transcendent. In me, all things live and move. Still, I am beyond the unknown. When man can realize that within himself, his eternal oneness with God, who is everything and everyone, he is the center, that one who projected the universe, this creation, from within himself. And when you go within the temple of the living God and find him there, you will become one with all that he is. And like the Christ, you can say, in truth, I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am he. I'd like to read to you today from St. Matthew, chapter 16. The Pharisees also came with the Sadducees, and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the sky's signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. Which, when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread? That ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This is a tremendous chapter, and one rightly understood in the sense of the Spirit. It is a tremendous thing. As I have told you many times, and certainly Christ was the one who originated it, he said that the scriptures were written in parables. So what we're seeking always is to know the truth from within us. And this chapter is a living example of that. Because when he talked to the disciples about this leavened bread, immediately they thought of the bread that you put in your mouth. But this is not true. He was speaking of the false doctrine. The doctrine, perhaps, of the parable in the sense that it misleads man and it doesn't give him the truth of his own being. Christ asked his disciples, Who am I? And they said many things in the beginning. Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But then he turned to his chief disciples and he said, Whom do you think that I am? And then Peter made this famous statement. Now what does Peter represent? Peter represents the truth that is revealed within every man. Who is Christ? What is he? Jesus was born the Son of Man, even as you and I. He took on the garment of flesh. He became a mortal man in order that he might show the way that all of us must go if we would attain Christhood. We must take up our crosses, which is to say our bodies, our lives, and follow him in every detail, emulate him, even unto death, if we are to become, in truth, heirs with God, with Christ in God. There is no other way that we can possibly achieve this. Men are constantly looking to the outer world for the satisfaction of all of their desires. And they will never in this world find it. Never. Because every time you find someone, something that satisfies you for the moment, eventually it seems that the consciousness changes. And you are still seeking, you are still yearning, you are still reaching out for something beyond that which you have. And this is a secret yearning, the secret longing of the soul for the eternal bridegroom, which is Christ. Christ is the dweller in every single temple there is. It was said by one priest, and he said it to me. He said, you know that in effect Peter was the first pope of the church. And so he said, this was the true meaning of the Christ teaching when he says that upon this rock I shall found my church, because he said the outer church came as a result of that statement to Peter. And I said to him, Father, but Peter was not a congregation. He was not a church or a temple made out of stone or brick or wood or mud. He was a living, breathing man. And Peter represents the state of the soul when it has been uplifted and has come to that point where it knows the truth, and that is that the Christ, the living God, is within each and every one of us. Not just one, but each and every one of us. Jesus verified this when he said to all who stood before him, ye are the temple of the living God. God himself lives and breathes and dwells and thinks and does through us every single thing. But he dwells in us in the form of the Son, because God himself is beyond all duality, but he also contains within himself all duality. And this article that I read to you, that was written by Swami Ramana, is an indication of one man's supreme knowledge of this truth within himself. We must stop thinking of the outer and think of God as being within us, in the holy sanctuary of our own soul, in this temple which was not made by man. We must go within this temple, and we must meditate upon him. We must pray to him. We must reach out to him with all of the love and the yearning and the strength which is within our being, asking him to reveal himself, reveal himself. And he is not satisfied with anything less than that we give us all of ourselves, not just a part, but all of ourselves, because this Savior within ourselves must be a sacrificial lamb, and he must be absolutely pure before this great light can come into our being and flood every part of it. This means physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and above all, morally. The moral law in today's world is going down the drain. And without this moral law by which man in his human consciousness can abide by it, there is no hope for the spiritual man of tomorrow. Love is the greatest thing in the world. Love is God, and God is love, because it was through his great love that he sent his only begotten Son into the world. This Christ consciousness, this Christ energy, this Christ which is the truth of every man, lo, I am with you always, he said. It is through this great love that it came. But you know, love is a liberty in a sense. Now you can either use it or you can abuse it. If a man has license, if he has liberty, he can do it, use it to do the right thing, or he can destroy himself and others. The eternal choice is there. And he must always make the right choice, always. He must go with God. He must obey the commandments of God. He must listen to the truth of the Christ within himself. He must go into that inner temple and listen to that still small voice until it becomes a great sounding roar within his being, until no longer it is a voice, but you have become one with it, and everything that comes out of you is a direct pipeline between you and that Christ consciousness. So that you are no longer present, that only the Christ, the indwelling Spirit, lives through you, thinks through you, speaks through you, and acts through you in every single facet of your existence. You know what that means? It means truly that all of those who are burdened and heavy laden have really laid their burdens at the feet of the Christ within, have emptied themselves of the human ego, and have lifted themselves up, and they have gone to the new city of Jerusalem. What does this word Jerusalem mean in Holy Scripture? It is a city of peace, but it is within yourself. And as I have explained to you many times, the Bible refers to cities that we know, to people that we know, to events that we know, to explain to each and every man what happens within himself. We must go through this state of the death of the human ego on our own cross in order that we might become the purified one, the anointed one, the Christed one, heir with Christ, and the sons of God. He said, "Know ye not that ye are God?" He said, "This is not original with me." And I believe what he said, because through my own experience, I have learned the truth of his teachings, and you cannot find them outwardly just by reading things outside. In the days of pagan religion, they sacrificed animals, they sacrificed men sometimes on the altar in order to propitiate the gods. But Christ came with this tremendous example which he puts before us of sacrificing himself, the human ego within, so that he, in effect, presented himself as a victim on the cross. Now, he was the victim as the Son of Man, but he, as a result of that, he became the great Son of God, and he showed each and every one of us the example of what we must do on our own cross, because this is my cross and yours, this body. That's where this cross came into being centuries ago, even before Christ, because it is a symbol of every man. And when we see this crucifix, this man crucified on the cross, this is symbolic of the fact that every man, in the human sense, must offer himself at the feet of the Lord and must be crucified or transformed into the divine. If we do not believe this is so, then why did Christ live? Why did he come to show us the way? So that we might forever just fall behind, always with the carrot in front of our nose like a horse? No. He came to show us the type of thing that we must do, the type of life we must live, if we are going to attain that which he himself attained with the Father. He came to take us to the Father, not to himself, but through the consciousness, the purity, the bliss, and the wisdom that was within himself. But it is the Father he came to take us to. We must remember all of this. In Christian terminology, we think of the priest as the representative of God. We think of the minister as the representative of God. We think of, in the Jewish sense, the rabbi as the minister of God. In India, they think of the guru as such. And that guru, which means the dispeller of darkness, he who comes to take you out of the darkness into the light of God within yourself, comes to show the way. But that one is both, shall we say, the minister of God, the priest of God, and the victim. He has to lead two lives. First, he must purify himself in every single detail of his life. He must be the example of that which he teaches. He must be reaching forever to God, even though he has recognized and realized his oneness with him. Still, in order to serve humanity, he must remain his child and his servant. And so always he loves to play this role, because he loves to worship the Father God through this Christ consciousness which he has attained. Always and forever he is doing that. But then he must come down and he must work in the horizontal position, in the world of duality. And then he becomes the victim. Why? Because he must bear everything that comes to him from those who bring it. He must work with them. He must mold them. if they, as though they were a piece of clay, into the image of God, which he himself has realized. And this is not an easy task, believe me, because the soul saying he wishes God realization, wishing to follow the Christ and become one with him, fights every single inch of the way. Now it is said that he was the sacrifice. He was the Savior so that all men might be saved. But it is the Savior in every man that must be sacrificed, which must go through these various experiences which are described in the Bible in parables within themselves. Many of the Catholic mystics have had these experiences, and there are books and books and books written about them. And this is true. I myself have been through this experience, and I know the truth of it, and the truth of the crucifixion. I know also the sublimity of the ascension and the realization of my oneness with God. But I know that I pay a penalty when I stay in the world in faith, because I have to be the atoner, in a sense, for all of those who come. God is love, but God takes on many images and many guises in this form of love. We have to realize that. There are different types of love, and some of them come in beautiful forms. Some think they are God realized, but they are merely in a euphoric state. It is true the workings of the Spirit are within them, but they have not yet paid the price, and in a sense they may act as tempters or temptresses in that sense. Man must find the truth, the reality within himself, and he must test every spirit which comes before him, because not every spirit which appears before him in the sense of God realization is that. And the only way you can test it is within your own consciousness, within yourself. There is no place else. I can teach you the method for meditation of prayer. I can teach you many of the mysteries of the Bible, but until you have gone within your own being, within your own temple, until you have made the effort to purify yourself, to follow the commandments of God, to work in harmony with his laws, and to bend every single effort, even unto death, then you are not yet ready to receive him, and you will not be able to understand what I'm talking about until you yourself have experienced it. You can read all about it in books. You can hear someone who has had these experiences tell you about it. But that doesn't give you knowledge, or wisdom rather. It's an interesting thing, because many people go here and there and everywhere seeking for knowledge, thinking that now they're going to get God realization for nothing, or this one has something better than that one. And always it is with the idea, not that it's better in the spirit, but it's easier for them, because they'll just touch them on the shoulders with a wand and say, I give you God realization, without any effort on that part, on their part. And it doesn't work that way, because God realization is that great pearl which Jesus spoke of, and it is the pearl of great price, the total annihilation of yourself as being separate from God, the total uplifting of your whole being in the human sense, until you become a God-man. Now that is in the spiritual sense, but you have to go beyond that if you are going to be the Christed one, because the God-man is the one who lives a good life, whose whole energy is bent toward God. But until he has the supreme experience of this union with the infinite bridegroom, the eternal beloved, the Christ within himself, he has not in any sense made it. Many come and say, oh, I am one with the Father. And they go around with great light. I would like to ask them, what price have you paid? Have you paid the full price? What suffering have you done as the Son of Man in order that you have earned the right to become the Son of God? I would ask them that. Love has power, but most people use that power as a thing of possession. They do not love truly, because to love is to give. to give everything of yourself for the beloved. But to love in the human sense is to see how much you can get, how much you can possess, how much you can hold to yourself. This is the truth. You know, many times we live with our families, our husbands, our wives, and we expect them to be saints. We do not realize that they are still the son of men. And they, like us, can only go to God as He inspires them. And in accordance with the effort that each one makes. And to berate somebody, to criticize somebody, is entirely the wrong thing to do. Love them. God shows love. He loves every single one of us. That's not because we are all lovable by any means, but because He has put His love into us. He Himself, that life, that love, that wisdom, that power, He is that love that is within us. In the olden days in the pagan religions, they used to make sacrifices of these animals, as I've said. But today, and in the time of Christ, Christ showed the example that it is the Son of Man, the inner sacrifice that must be made. That is the supreme sacrifice, which is pleasing to God. The rest is a stench in His nostrils. Until you can give all of yourself, in every sense of the word, to God, then you have not made the grace. Until you are really living the life in every detail, you have not made the grace. You can go around and go to church and look holier than thou and pious and seemingly spread light, but until you have become that which the Christ engendered each and every one of us to become, you have not made it in the sight of God. He is a jealous God from the standpoint that He wants all of our love, not in the sense of human jealousy, but because He knows that only when we have given all of ourselves to Him and realized our oneness with Him will we find this eternal peace, this eternal bliss, wisdom, power, happiness. Do you not realize that though you go seeking for knowledge everywhere, in everything around you, that only the great knowledge will be given to you after you have attained wisdom, after you have attained your oneness with God? This is the truth, because Jesus made that statement perfectly clear when He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and then all of these other things shall be added unto you." Not before, not through your own efforts, because man must make every effort to realize God within himself until he comes to that point where he knows that of himself he can do nothing. And when he kneels before God in total surrender, saying to Him, "Father, I've tried everything. I've been everywhere. I've heard everybody speak. I have not been able to make it. Why am I still empty? Why am I still barren of this great life? If you want me to have it, you must give it to me." Only then will God come in, when you have totally surrendered everything to Him, and through His love and His grace and His power, He will lift you up and make you something more than man. He will make you a God-man, a living Christ. And God knows we could use a few of them on this earth today. It is each one's eternal responsibility to seek his oneness with God. It is the sole purpose for which he was placed here. Not to satisfy his human pleasures, but to find his oneness with God. And when he has found that, all pleasures are his, but he will not abuse them. All things are his, because he has opened, put the key in and opened the door of God's infinite storehouse of abundance. And everything flows to him. The love, the supply, the everything. You don't have to go around in sackcloth and ashes without anything. It is perfectly all right to enjoy the beautiful things if you are not attached to them, if they do not possess you or you possess them. There is a distinct difference. We become so attached to our possessions. But the man who can live anywhere, in a palace or under a tree, in the slums or in the greatest place in the world, without being affected by any of it, knowing that regardless of anything, race, color, creed, religion, that he is the Son of God. That we have lived in a schizophrenic world where man is fighting against man, where there's a constant separation of the religion, of the races, of the cultures, of the people in every way. And there's this constant battle going on. Now, perhaps it is necessary, but Swami Ramdas, it says in this article that to him there is no evil. To him there is no dissension, because he sees everything as this life being worked out as a life of God. And he knows that everything that is happening is that which is necessary to prod man into the realization of who and what he is. Love is the key that will open the door. Love of God, love of your fellow man, not the man himself, but God in that man, regardless of how disagreeable, how ugly, how anything he is, you can love God in him. It is the Savior in every man who pays vicariously, who atones for the sins which you have committed. Now in there, it speaks of the atonement for us and our and we, all these things in plural. But this is what is spoken of man in his dual state, because he is we, he is our, he is us. It is only when he has attained this oneness that he can say I in all truth. And so all of these dual tendencies in us are the things and the ones referred to when we speak of the Savior within atoning for our sins. Because he is the Savior crucified on every cross in order that he might become that glorious one, that radiant one, the Son of God, the Christed one. Do you know what you're missing when you don't devote every moment of your lives to him? This doesn't mean that you can't work in the world, but that you find God within the sanctuary of your soul morning and night, and then you take him with you wherever you go. Whatever you do, he is there. And you come to know that he is the doer. I of myself have nothing. It is my Father who thinks, who speaks, who acts through me. And you become a great light, a great power to spread his name, his fame, his glory across the earth. Not yours. If yours comes incidentally, it is because God has so arranged it, not because you want it so. He is doing this to use you for his purpose, to spread the word, to advertise it. That is the only reason. It is not because you are great, that you have a great name, that you are famous, because beside him you are nothing. Nothing. Until you have reached that state of supreme consciousness. And then suddenly you realize that where in truth you were the nothingness of God before, now you have become the everythingness of God. That no matter where you see, with your eyes open or closed, there is nothing but God, God, God for you everywhere. And the light that fills your being is so great that all who come before you or within the radius of your presence feel the wonder and the beauty and the love and the power of God within you. This is my prayer for you. This is what I am trying to help you to reach out for, to see God everywhere. But in order to do that, you must go within, in this silent temple. Remember this. I have said this little poem for you before, which God gave me. As I knelt down to say a prayer, I felt my Heavenly Father there. His whispered bliss crept in my thoughts, and I knew it was him I sought. He poured his love into my heart until I felt myself a part of every living thing in space. And I knew I'd met God face to face. That's what you want. This is my prayer. This is why I am here, to help you to attain this supreme reality, to know that you are part and parcel of this great I Am. Now let us all close our eyes. said to him, "Oh, Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, Divine Mother,
Divine Mother,
I feel the wonder and the beauty,
I feel the wonder and the beauty
of Thy glorious presence,
of Thy glorious presence
in every part of my being,
in every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with Thy love for Thee.
My heart is bursting with Thy love for Thee.
I kneel in adoration at Thy feet.
I kneel in adoration at Thy feet
and surrender myself to Thee.
And surrender myself to Thee.
I feel the power of Thy perfection.
I feel the power of Thy perfection
surging in every cell of my body.
Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence.
My mind and my intelligence
are radiant with Thy healing light.
Are radiant with Thy healing light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss
of my communion with Thee.
Of my communion with Thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
Open my eyes that I may see Thy face.
Open my eyes that I may see Thy face.
Open my ears that I may hear Thy footsteps everywhere.
Open my ears that I may hear Thy footsteps everywhere.
Open my heart that I may feel the glory of Thy love.
Oh, open my heart that I may feel the glory of Thy love.
O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
May Thy love shine forever.
May Thy love shine forever.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
May I be able to draw all souls to Thee with my own.
May I be able to draw all souls to Thee with my own.
His very own.